Brett, take it away.
Hey guys, it's E3 time. This is the Day 2 podcast. We've been on the show floor. Let's get started. Intro music.
Oh, okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Nick.
I'm Tim.
I'm Chris.
And we're the Four Amigos.
Alright, anyways, let's jump right into it, guys. But we're gonna start, before we get too far into show floor impressions, why don't we cover both the conferences that we watched this morning?
Oh, yeah!
Let's talk about Nintendo!
Oh, yeah!
And how much of a fucking train wreck
that
was.
I love fucking Muppets, dude. Do you think they had the professional puppeteers, like animating them?
Like, because, like the Jim Henson? The Jim Henson
yeah, like...
I think so.
Because they were so well animated.
Yeah, I think that really was Jim Henson. Especially when you look at the other Muppets.
They were good. That was definitely probably the highlight of that press conference. I don't know what was going on in that press conference, but there were so many moments where it's like they make you think they're about to talk about one game, and then all of a sudden it's like boom, it's a completely different game out of left field. Was that intentional, or was that just not planned well?
I think part of that was really not planned well because they were trying to tie in the whole Super Mario Maker Amiibos thing to change.
Yeah, they were
characters.
Trying to, like, every announcement they made was like tied into like Super Mario Maker, but it's just weird when you're trying to announce a Star Fox game, but when the announcement starts, you see like Mario characters moving around on the screen. It was just
it was all really confusing.
It was weird.
They started with a game. I guess the first game was a new game for the 3DS called Star Fox. Star Fox Zero for the Nintendo 3DS. It looked like a pretty good Star Fox game. I mean,
yeah, they really pushed the graphics of the 3DS.
Yeah,
I got to give them that.
Yeah, I would say it's up there. It's in the top five best looking 3DS games, I think.
Easily.
Might be edged out by a couple of others. But
Brad, can I just ask you to confirm whether that's actually a 3DS game or not?
Well, you might need a new 3DS to play it. It was pretty graphically.
Is it one of those 3DSs that plugs into the TV and then you hold it in your hands? It's really freaking big.
No,
it's not.
Yeah, mine's modified to do that. I can stream them.
Okay.
Wait, people in chat are telling me it's a Wii U game.
Nah, it can't be.
People in chat.
This game must be super early. Probably comes out in a few years. Like, this was just like a prototype or something.
Yo, you're the worst, Brad.
Yo, let's just. The joke is over.
Let's move on.
This is a Wii U game. It's not the greatest looking thing in the world.
I'm confused.
Star Fox for the Wii U looks kind of like Bud.
I can forgive a bad art style, but it looked like it was having frame rate issues.
The art style looked like it hasn't gone anywhere since Star Fox 64. It looked legitimately like they just took the same art style from 64, threw a fresh coat of paint on it, and
they even took a gameplay mechanic from Star Fox 2, came out.
I'm not trying to shit on Nintendo. I think the Wii U, yes, it's an underpowered console, but it can spit out beautiful fucking games. Super Mario 3D World.
Wonderful 101.
Mario Kart 8. Man, some of these games look fucking incredible. Look at the new Yarn Yoshi game or the Donkey Kong games. Those are really beautiful games. This Star Fox game looked fucking... It looked like dog shit.
Now, to be fair, we haven't played it yet because we're playing it, whatever.
I'm only talking about the visuals. Visuals.
We are purely talking about what we saw at the conference, at the press conference this morning. All the time that we spent on the show floor today was spent in the other hall, which had third-party stuff. So that means we didn't play anything that was Sony, Nintendo, or Microsoft exclusives. So we haven't played that yet. But based on what we saw, I think we're all kind of on the same page here.
It's not the best looking game.
It was. No, it's... The word that I'm choosing to use to describe Star Fox is underwhelming as fuck.
Well, it looked like a Star Fox game. It seems like there's more freedom points where you can kind of...
It's slightly less on rails.
Yeah, it seems like it's less on rails. The big thing is transformations. You can transform your R-Wing into like a duck or something.
Some
weird shit like that.
Well, I mean,
the Landmaster has a slight flammability, and they have a new gyrocopter thing.
The weirdest
gyrocopter.
So the weirdest part about this Star Fox unveiling this morning was that not that the game looks kind of like butt, but like Platinum Games is developing the single player campaign for
apparently,
this game,
which is super weird. So Platinum Games, specifically Hideki Kamiya, has said that he's always wanted to work on a Star Fox game, but he's not working on this game. He's working on Scalebound. But they're working on it, so.
Well, he no longer hates Star Fox, idiots.
Well, he probably does.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know. I mean, the thing is, I'm not this huge Star Fox fan. I'm not.
I'm not.
And I found out that these guys aren't really Star Fox fans either. No, so.
I love Star Fox 64. Okay. I played the shit out of it, and I'm underwhelmed by this title.
I played the hell out of it. It's just, I think the biggest problem for me is that, like, if we never got Star Fox 64, my reaction to this probably would have been totally different, but this looks like so much just, like, ripped straight out of the same book.
It has the same tunnel exit that you take to take the alternate route in the 64 game, and, like, the map looked exactly the same. It basically looked like Star Fox 64 HD. I'm pretty sure if I bought the 3DS version, it's going to look like what I saw. And that's a little disappointing. Like
It just looked
like so much like Star Fox. Like,
well, why don't we move on to something that was less disappointing?
Skylanders.
Next.
Skylanders with Bowser.
Well, technically, that wasn't disappointing because we didn't have hopes for it.
There was a point in that Skylanders trailer where there was like a ship flying that I thought looked better than Star Fox. Sorry. There's more detail.
So, MGS would like us to point out, I'm not sure what his source is on this. I'm sure it's been referenced somewhere. He says, but quote-unquote, art is being done at Platinum's Osaka office, but design is being done in Nintendo's offices in Kyoto, where some of Platinum guys have taken temporary root.
Okay, so we know who to blame for it now.
It's very strange.
Hopefully that's early.
I mean, you also got to understand that Platinum is spreading itself super thin. Like, they're working on four projects right now.
And one of which we'll talk about later.
It could also be that the studio's expanding at a rate in which they could take on these projects.
Well, sure. I mean, it would have to be, right? But, I mean, they're not exactly pumping out blockbusters either, so I find that kind of strange. It's almost like people acknowledge that, okay, their games don't sell, but they are really talented, so let's give them, like, licensed projects that are probably going to sell anyways, you know what I mean?
I think they can deal with either the potential critical acclaim or the fact that they probably are one of the cheaper contract developers.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a Japanese developer. I mean, I don't know. So then they announced a brand new Zelda game, Zelda Triforce Heroes, which is a 3DS isometric Zelda game. It looks like it's using the Link Between Worlds engine, but it is a cooperative kind of four swordsy adventures kind of game.
Oh, it's very much four swordsy.
Yeah, and you can make a totem of Links, kind of Disgaea style, and then throw them around and... I mean, I'll probably play it, but this is not exactly... I kind of like my single-player Zelda games, the great dungeons and stuff.
Well, I mean, it has single-player elements, and you're controlling, like, dolls?
There's different suits or something, yeah.
And there's... And you, well, the you dolls change are, clothes.
Are, the dolls are there if you're playing by yourself. Yeah.
I mean, but are they going to be well-crafted puzzles? Or is it just... Like... Are there going to be well-crafted puzzles designed around someone playing by themselves, or is it just going to be kind of more tedious when you're by yourself?
Probably more tedious.
Because that's kind of what Four Swords Adventures was.
Yeah, because, I mean, you were walking around in a group of Links, and you were having to go into different formations to get objectives done.
Well, they also pointed out that all those games have some kind of competitive element. This one's supposed to be completely co-op. And they also mentioned they dropped the fourth player because when you make that totem, they said that, you know, making a totem of four people would be kind of ridiculous. Cat.
Whoa. Oh,
It's okay.
Please don't knock over anything.
Oh, God.
Get your feet off that.
Hey! Crisis averted.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
What
were we talking about?
Hit a rogue cat.
Hyrule Warriors on the 3DS.
I'm sorry, I did
whatever.
Nothing to stop that, by the way. I just totally let that happen.
Okay, Hyrule Warriors on the 3DS, whatever. Cat, what do I have written down here?
Brad has written down Hyrule Warriors 3DS. I'm sorry. Metroid Prime, I Wanna Die.
I don't remember the name of the game. But they announced a new Metroid game.
Federation Forces.
In the Metroid Prime series.
Yeah.
This is
you know how sometimes companies won't let you use their name because they don't want their taint attached to it. Like, yeah, they want to protect their brand. Mm-hmm. That is not happening with Metroid Prime.
No. Well, Nintendo owns that.
You know what's funny, though? You know what's fucking funny? Nintendo's like, well, they want Metroid. We gotta give them a Metroid game. So we can wait a few years or whatever before we need to worry about Metroid. What the fuck is wrong with Nintendo?
I'll tell you exactly what's wrong with
them.
They're too cheap these days to develop new ideas. They have to create existing products.
Well, we know that's not
either,
true.
Either reinterpret them for different titles or on different systems, or they take classic titles and make sequels to them. Which is what this is. This is a sequel to Metroid Prime Hunters. That's what this game is.
Really? Because Metroid Prime Hunters in and of itself was more of a Metroid game than this is.
This is Metroid Prime Hunters made for today's audience by today's Nintendo.
And isn't it two separate games? Isn't Blast Ball and the Hunt Federation?
It's just a mode.
It's
just a mode. Brad's
having Here's the thing. I would have liked Blast Ball if it was not called Metroid Prime. But now that we know that this is what Metroid Prime has become, it's ridiculous. This is horrible.
Fucking stupid is what it is. It's like, imagine they announced the new Mirror's Edge game and it was like a cover-based shooter. That's what this is like. Metroid's about isolation and atmosphere. You don't make a fucking multiplayer shooter out of Metroid. What the fuck are you doing, Nintendo?
I don't know.
What else? The 3DS, for Christ's sake.
What are they doing, Brad? What else are they doing?
What? Okay.
Are you trying to transition?
I am trying to transition.
I do have a question I would like to ask you in this regard. Of everything that was shown at Nintendo today, what was a first-party retail release for that company on the Wii U?
What?
Star Fox.
What are we talking about?
Just Star Fox.
Yarn Yoshi, what are we talking about?
Everything else is a...
Yarn Yoshi's a retail release?
Of what they showed, what was a first-party retail release?
No. I'm just trying to think of, like, I mean, what they want
Fire Emblem Fates, Xenoblade X, Animal Crossing.
I'm talking about first-party specifically, not second-party or third-party.
Fire Emblem and Xenoblade are first-party. They're both owned Nintendo companies.
They also showed on Xenoblade.
Never mind.
But,
And Super Mario Maker.
Yes.
I'm just still daft at the complete missing nature of the new Zelda game.
Okay, so, Metroid Prime Federation fuckers, whatever the fuck. Listen, if you find a person on the internet or in life who is defending this game, like, I actually think this is kind of cool, you found a stupid Nintendo fanboy, and you should punch them in the face. And when they get mad at you, and they fight back, and you get into a fight, and people got to pull you aside, going, man, y'all need to calm down. And, like, maybe one of you even presses charges or whatever. And you go to court. You go to court, and you're on the stand, and they ask you why you did it. You tell them, Brad said it's cool.
I always wanted to see one of these rants in person.
Oh. I see his rants in person.
Then they moved on to Fire Emblem Fates, which is what they're calling the 3DS Fire Emblem game.
Was all anime cutscenes.
They showed a little bit of gameplay. But, I mean, that game's coming out in Japan very soon. I'm a little bummed out we have to wait so long, but whatever. And then they showed a little bit of... Wait, is that when they showed it? The Fire Emblem Idolmaster? What is this game?
Wait, is that supposed to be the Fire Emblem Cross
Shin Megami Tensei? Yes. That is what that
Cross
is.
Cross Idolmaster?
Yes.
Okay, that's weird. I don't know. I'm not qualified to comment on that game. I don't know, but it does look like Idolmasters, that's for sure.
I think we put it the best during when we were doing the live stream. I play a lot of Persona, you've played a lot of Fire Emblem. And both of us are confused. We have no clue what it is. And here's the thing. It's also working in conjunction with Avex Track, which pretty much produces a bunch of Japanese J-pop music, all kinds of different music. So there's going to be
a lot of production work for Idolmaster, right?
Yeah. So they're basically, this is just going to be a tie-in to a bunch of music that's going to be licensed, which means that you try to stream it, it's going to get muted. And that's going to be like half their draws.
Whatever.
Like,
just you know what? Just keep bringing everything in. Just make it the Smash Brothers of fucking anime RPGs. Just bring in everything that all the fucking Japanophiles are. Is that PC? Japanophiles?
I don't think that's PC.
Weeaboo? Is that what we
that's
call
them?
That's
not PC.
That's worse.
What is...
Someone
in
chat just said weeaboo. So.
Anime nerd.
Anime nerd? That's boring.
It is, but they still hate being called that for some reason. Because maybe it's Western, they want to be heavily Japanese.
Yes. Yeah, it's like the Smash Brothers for those people or something. I don't know what's going on anymore. Neptunia, yeah, they're going to throw in Neptunia next. Otaku! Otaku,
that's
sorry.
Good.
Otaku, there we go.
Yeah.
I've heard weeb. That's not
much better than weeaboo.
Okay.
Some people in chat are like, just use weeaboo, it's fine. Someone says, Japanophile is fine. They don't even know what the fuck they want to be called. I don't know what's happening. Anyways, what else do they announce? I want to get through this conference.
They showed a little bit of Xenoblade X, which, you know...
I feel like every time I see the game, it looks less and less impressive.
Import previews are mixed.
Yeah, and that's concerning.
Which is scary, because on the original Xenoblade, they were super positive.
I feel like this is one of those games where, when it was first announced, I was like, that looks really cool, and the more I see of it, the more I'm just like, I'm probably going to end up passing on it.
Is the combat that we've seen thus far in Xenoblade Chronicles X indicative of Xenoblade Chronicles?
Yes. Well, indicative. I mean, it's very similar.
It is?
Very, very similar.
Oh, man.
Very, very similar. And I didn't like the combat.
Because I do not like that MMO-style combat, no.
Then they announced, they talked about a couple of their Animal Crossing games. The one where you're the interior designer, which, whatever. At least it showed you can decorate yards and stuff, too, which I guess is nice. And then they announced the one that's kind of like Mario Party, Amiibo Festival. Assassin's Creed. Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival, which I don't know what
if
that
you're,
is.
If you're like many of the Animal Crossing people who love the villagers and everyone, it's your game. If, for everyone else, they're probably going to pass.
Yeah. They showed some Yarn Yoshi. What do y'all think about Yarn Yoshi?
I think it looks charming as hell.
It's pretty. It's got a great art
style. It's pretty,
and
I think that's going to be kind of what they're going to leverage, obviously, to make that game successful, if it's going to be successful, but...
They announced it a year and a half, or we first saw it a year and a half ago. Just put the game fucking out, you know?
Yeah.
I know it was demo,
that's
but it wasn't...
That's coming out soon, though, isn't it?
I mean, both the Kirby games came out faster than that.
Yeah. It looks a little slow. I mean, I'm not the biggest Yoshi's Island fan. I like to run fast in my Mario games and not throw eggs. They're just so, like... Yeah, I don't know. Yo-Kai Watch, that's really popular in Japan. It's finally coming out over here.
Nick nearly had a heart attack when it came on and showed level 5.
It's Pokemon with...
Oh, that was my biggest fuck you of the show. What the hell?
So, instead of little animals, it's like Pokemon with ghosts.
Did you find like the real world or something?
Something like
see,
that.
See, I think when you said Yo-Kai Watch, I thought it was like you're going to be hunting for demons and looking for them. I didn't know they meant like an actual watch, like a wristwatch.
Yeah, there's a wristwatch. I think so. Then they announced Mario & Luigi Paper Jam, which looks like it's taking the Paper Mario RPGs and merging it with the Mario & Luigi RPGs, which, those games they're very hit and miss. Some of them are fucking great, and some of them are kind of not so great. Like, I know people really didn't like Sticker Star, people didn't really like that Luigi one all that much, like... Super Paper Mario people really didn't like. But then there's others that like Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga or Bowser's Inside Story or Paper Mario on the GameCube. I mean, Thousand Year Door. Who knows which one of those we're going to get. You know what I mean?
It is the title I was most excited about from that.
Well, it's the only thing that looks even remotely not terrible. No, I'm just kidding. Then they showed a Mario Tennis game that's coming out this year.
That's not a bad surprise.
Yeah, Mario Tennis. They've just done so many of those.
Yeah.
Well, this one grants your fantasies of an extra large peach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You were
crawl up in that butthole. And Mario Maker.
What the fuck?
Mario Maker.
Yay, Mario
Still
Maker.
Still looks pretty cool.
They kind of missed out by not showing some of the footage from the championships because they had some really cool level design in there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they took over.
Yeah,
took
they didn't really show off anything
that
much.
They barely showed off the Super Mario World, you know.
It was one screen.
It was like one, yeah.
And then I think
that's
was it.
That's the thing I want to see the most of.
That was a pretty bad press conference.
No, we also got like 5 minutes of people doing random Mario crap.
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to send videos.
It had some like entertaining moments, but those moments were just for entertainment.
I mean, it was a pretty bad press conference.
Which is weird.
Where's the Wii U games?
They've been so consistently good for like the last maybe year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah. They didn't show Zelda. They didn't show a new Metroid game. They didn't show a new, you know, Mario game for like a proper Mario game. I mean, what the fuck? You know, they have Star Fox, but that's always been kind of a B-tier Nintendo franchise anyways. It's just weird. It was weird for them.
I mean, you can't
Why not show some more Zelda?
You can't make the prime Nintendo-developed, Nintendo-released Wii U game for your console fucking Star Fox. Star Fox is a great series. It's fun to play endlessly, but...
Well, not endlessly. They usually end pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, but you
okay.
know, variety of what you can do, whatever.
I just want to address this in chat. The guy says four fat virgins talking. First of all, these two clearly aren't even kind of fat. Second of all, we all fucked your mom, so none of us are virgins. No. Oh, that was the Nintendo press conference. It was pretty bad.
Very smooth.
Let's move on to the Square Enix press conference. Their first,
which was impressive.
Let's talk about this one.
This made up for the Nintendo bullshit.
I don't even know.
I'm sorry.
Well, let's just go.
Your mom wasn't.
All right, you have the master list, Brad. Let's go straight into Square Enix.
Just Cause 3.
Yes.
We'll talk a little bit about that later.
We saw this game today. A pretty extensive...
Unlimited C4. Because fuck it.
Because why not?
Fuck it, I'm out.
Oh, yeah. And the wire system now, it's ridiculous.
We'll talk about it later.
I think maybe the wires are unbreakable this time because everyone loves that mod.
They are unbreakable. Spoiler alert.
Wait, what's unbreakable?
The wires. Because in Just Cause 2, the wire can only take so much pressure before it snaps apart.
Yeah.
But there was a mod that everyone loves where when they tether the plane to the...
tethers.
They tether the plane to a palm tree and it just like...
Yeah,
and
then
the tree
just goes
woo until it hits the tree and crashes.
Oh, you won't believe some of the shit they tethered.
Well, so obviously Just Cause has been, over the years, just been slowly embracing the insanity. And it seems like they've taken that to like completely... They've gone completely apeshit with it now, and before it's like they were kind of balancing like on the teetering on the edge of like whether they're kind of a serious action game or just an insane action game like a little crazier over the top GTA, and then this game is just like let's just tilt all the way to the right because it's
move.
Everything.
We're gonna talk about that later.
Can we
talk about the biggest surprise of E3?
That's further along the line.
Was that next?
Give it time.
Yes.
Was that next?
It was next.
It was next.
Yeah.
The biggest surprise of E3 that was not leaked.
You know what's funny? Because yesterday I was convinced
even Shinmue got leaked.
I was convinced that the rumored like super surprise sequel that no one was expecting was going to be that South Park game.
Yeah.
So we were all thinking that had kind of come and gone, and we had seen everything, and then suddenly they fucking hit us with this. I'm gonna let Brad take it away.
God damn it.
God damn
no,
it.
No, it's cool. It's cool. No. Okay. We'll stop eventually, right?
Yeah. One day.
I'm just waiting like 10 minutes later. They're gonna stop, right?
So Square Enix
announced. By the way, this is my background on my computer now. Check that shit out.
The writer director of Nier is producer director. Oh wow. Is that art from the new game? Oh my god, where did that come from?
Google.
There is a new Nier game, a follow-up to my game of the year from several years ago.
Well, let's be honest, nobody fucking expected this.
Yes, I didn't ever expect it to like the original Nier. It has the director of the original Nier, it has the composer of the original Nier, but that studio was largely dissolved post-Nier.
You know what makes this even better is that before we came to E3... We did our top five most anticipated games, you did your top five best games of last, or what was the exact phrasing of your topic?
Underrated.
Top five.
No, it was top five bad games of last generation.
In quotes, bad games last generation.
It was a top five list of my favorite games that scored under 70% on game rankings.
And Nier was near the top of your list, wasn't it?
It's like,
Well, don't spoil the subscriber
content. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, it's subscriber content. They should have already watched it by now.
Well, maybe. Okay. So this is a new Nier game.
I lied. That wasn't on
the
list.
Let me talk to you a little bit about... Here's the thing about Nier. This is a fucking brilliant game in a lot of ways. It's just crazy. It's okay. Here's the thing about Nier. It's a great game, but it looked like crap, and it kind of played like crap. but it was a pretty fucking great, different, subversive game in so many ways. It had a cool story, cool atmosphere, cool world, cool music. It was like meta and shit. It was weird in all the great, in all kinds of great ways. I love Nier. Well, this new one, which has that composer, has that director, has that producer of the original Nier, but now Platinum Games, creators of Bayonetta, and Vanquish.
Dude, we've been okay. Well, Brad has been talking so much trash about Transformers. I can't believe this. They're doing it totally rightfully so. Like, we knew that Platinum Games was going to announce a new game.
You were so angry.
And Brad has been angry for days. When it was
Platinum Games is developing this sequel to Nier. They also have the character designer from Final Fantasy Tactics. I guess more recently, you know her work from Bravely Default. And, you know, she's done a lot of other games, but it's a really talented artist. So you had a game that played like shit, that looked like shit. Now all of a sudden... has a developer that knows how to make games that play really well and an artist that's really fucking talented. So apparently there's art that's out there that already looks fucking amazing. So I'd be excited about this new Nier game. It was a fucking huge surprise. Who would have thought Nier would have ever got a fucking sequel? Jesus Christ.
Nobody.
Jesus Christ.
Honestly, like it's funny because like at a show that has been dominated by talk of The Last Guardian's Return and the Final Fantasy VII remake and the Shinmue Kickstarter, this is going to come out the other side as being like probably the
biggest surprises,
the unsung heroes of E3. Like,
yeah.
Platinum Games. I think a lot of people are on board with you. I'm totally on board. Like, this is the biggest surprise for me, and it's easily going to be one of my most anticipated games coming out of the show. Like, you convinced me to play Nier. I did. I fucking loved it, and. Everything you said is spot on.
I even convinced Joseph to play Nier, and he loved it.
Joseph loved it. And these fuckers will love it, too, if they play it. Well,
I need to play it.
These fuckers will love it, too, once they've played it. Or they better. Anyways,
or at least play the new one.
That's cool. I'm very, very excited for Nier, too. What came next, Brad?
So is Kaine supposed to be the protagonist of Nier, too?
There is rumors. Someone in the chat was saying there are rumors that yes. Kaine is going to be the protagonist.
I mean, Nier is the main character from Nier.
Really prominent trend at E3 this year of introducing games with prominent female lead characters or protagonists. Like, they're everywhere. They're fucking everywhere. And this,
I feel like, judging by the timing, all of these female protagonists are partially a huge shot at Ubisoft going, oh yeah, from last year.
Although I just realized what I just said in relation to this game.
Welcome back, Jim.
Welcome back, Jim. It's nice to meet you.
Say welcome back, Jim.
I didn't know Jim.
Welcome back, Jim.
Welcome back.
What are we talking about?
The next game after...
Tomb Raider. They showed... Actually, did they show anything for Tomb Raider?
No, they showed the same trailer.
Oh, they just showed the trailer again. Tomb Raider.
They showed some behind-the-scenes stuff.
They showed a behind-the-scenes featurette, which had a very subtle hint of tomb exploration, maybe a little bit. But it was mostly like one of those, like, this is how we created
the line specifically was, we're putting the tomb back in Tomb Raider.
Yes, which, man, that's original. But, hey.
Wait, they said that?
That's not
lie. That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, that's not lie.
It's a step in the right direction, but why is that necessary in the first place?
Okay, so yeah, Tomb Raider. I mean, we need to see more of that game. I'm surprised it's not on the show floor in some capacity. Kind of bummed about that.
Yeah, that's weird, especially since it's supposed to come... Wait, it's not coming out this year, is it? Or is it?
No. It is
this year?
For Xbox.
Time.
Both Xboxes.
Well, that's what I have it on. I have an Xbox.
Well, congratulations.
I thought it was coming out the same day as Fallout.
Uh,
I as a bad
yes, game. Same day as Fallout.
Yeah.
Same day as Fallout.
You know, Brad, maybe I'll let you borrow my Xbox if you want to play it.
But you're going to be playing.
Well, I mean, after I play it.
Oh, well, I won't hold my
breath. Uh-oh, Cat's coming around for round two.
After that, they showed Deus Ex. They showed a pretty cool trailer.
Which we're going to talk in more detail.
Well, we'll talk more in detail with that because we saw the...
That's one of the few games we got a pretty good look at today.
The trailer they showed is the demo we actually got to see today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they announced a game that I thought was kind of surprising. I guess a successor to one of my favorite games of last year that was actually a mobile game. They announced Lara Croft Go. And I know it's a mobile game, and I know a lot of us scoff at mobile games, but I highly recommend you go try Hitman Go, because that game is slick as shit. And honestly, it's more of a Hitman game than Absolution, so...
It's funny, like... Well, I don't know, like... I want
to
play that!
And Lara Croft Go looks slick as shit, too, so slick. I can't wait to play that.
This series of Go titles has just, like, a really, really clean style.
Clean, yeah. They have a clean really sweet board game aesthetic to it.
Yeah, and I would totally... that in and of itself is just a reason enough for me
and to you know what? It makes so much sense that they eventually do Deus Ex Go. Because you can do all kinds of, like... I mean, because...
You could,
those games are all about fucking options, and you could totally do some cool shit with that.
They're eventually going to shit the bed, though, with Kane Lynch Go.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm pretty sure that series is dead.
I don't think they can make a sleek Kane and Lynch Go.
Brad made a good point today that Deus Ex is the perfect game for this.
Yeah.
It is. No, that's great.
Deus Ex Go is probably the next one we'll see.
That'd be fucking cool. Then, yada, yada, yada. They re-showed the Final Fantasy VII trailer.
They
talked about Life is Strange.
They also came out... Heroes. They said that they're going to reveal more about the Final Fantasy VII game before the end of the year.
Yeah.
There was a weird phone game called Kingdom Hearts Unchained. I don't think we care about that.
It was a Japanese game that's being ported to the U.S.
But then they showed a gameplay trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3.
And holy shit, it looked great.
It looked very pretty. Good.
Very pretty.
Holy crap.
And they showed off a world, a Tangled world?
Yep, Tangled.
Which seems a little B-tier. You know, I think a lot of people were hoping for Pixar or Star Wars or Marvel, since that's all Disney now.
People just, they want the Toy Story world.
Well, I think we're going to have at least one more E3 between now and the release of that game.
I mean, Tangled's great, but I mean, like, Kingdom Hearts 2 had Tron and Pirates of the Caribbean, so that's pretty far from your typical Disney shit.
And Disney owns so many IPs now. They could do fucking Star Wars worlds. They could do fucking...
It's all
Marvel worlds. Though.
Like doesn't EA have the Star Wars IP tied up as far as games go?
What made me really nervous, though, is what Victus said in chat. The end of that trailer said, now in development at the end.
But so what? I mean, of course it's in development.
Well, sure, but like, now in development sounds like, hey, we're actually working on it.
But last year they announced it.
Well, last year, it's been announced for a while.
It said the same thing last year, now in development.
Yeah.
In fact, the first trailer you ever saw said now in development.
Well, the reason they said that is because they don't have a release year.
Yeah.
Because they're Square Enix, and they announce games years before they come out.
You want a realistic release date? It's 2017 or 2018.
Yeah. Which the same thing with Final Fantasy VII had like a now in development, because Final Fantasy VII's not coming out next year, and it's not going to come out the year after that. And we'd be lucky if it came out the year after that, because Square Enix does not almost finish a game and then start talking about it. They think about an idea, they commit to that idea, then they start talking about it. They tease it. I mean, look how long... Like, when was Final Fantasy XV, I believe, was announced in 2006.
Well, Final Fantasy Versus 13.
It is the same fucking game.
Which
they've been working on it, yes.
15, yeah.
I'm just saying, this is Square Enix.
They do like to pull the trigger a little too early on these games. But, you know, 2017 sounds realistic.
Maybe not 2006. Maybe I'm thinking 2008. But it's been a... Actually, 2006 was when they announced this the fucking Final Fantasy 13 trilogy.
Wait, no.
2006.
Brad.
Yeah.
Brad, our first E3 was in 2009.
They did not... They announced the Final Fantasy... Fabula Nova Crystallis long before our first E3.
I'm going to look this up to be certain.
Anyways, Well, so Kingdom Hearts 3, what did y'all think?
Dude, I have recently decided I was going to go back and play. In fact, on the way back from dinner, you asked me what I might be playing this, during the summer, yeah. during the lull. I'm thinking I'm going to play Kingdom Hearts. I was totally blown away by that demonstration. That looked gorgeous. The environments were huge. It was super colorful.
It was unveiled in 06.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
That is crazy.
That was 9 years ago. And you know what? I don't think we're even that close to getting Final Fantasy 15. That game was kind of rough on the demo.
Anyways. Tim, what did you think of Kingdom Hearts 3?
I was impressed. I do like that, you know, it's much more open. I do not like the small individual rooms of Kingdom Hearts. So I'm looking forward to really just exploring a map for once.
I would like to ask, since you've seen Tangled, I haven't seen it, unfortunately.
Tangled is a good movie.
Tangled's a great movie.
I bet it is.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, that environment, does it seem indicative of Tangled?
I mean, it's a pretty generic, foresty...
The most recognizable sequence was when you came over the hill and there was the tower in the back.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're probably going to climb some hair, I imagine, at some point.
I mean, I'm just wondering just how representative some of these worlds are going to be this time around. Because, I mean, with the increased, you know, graphical fidelity and the potential for what you could do, I mean, they could really change these worlds dramatically from what we remember them being.
Okay. So if we had a poll and it said, which game is the most, I don't know what this game is, what would win? No Man's Sky, that new Media Molecule game Dreams, or World of Final Fantasy?
A close tie between Dreams and World of Final Fantasy.
Because I have no idea what the fuck this game is.
The only thing we know about World of Final Fantasy really is that it has old characters and it's turn-based, apparently.
And I mean,
what old character?
You saw Cloud and Warrior of Light.
Like a chibi version. But then they had these characters that look right out of fucking Kingdom Hearts. Who the fuck were those characters?
I mean, it seemed, I think those are original characters, like ones exploring.
It seemed to me like these new characters are pretending to be traditional Final Fantasy characters. And so they're the guys taking on the male personas and the females, the ladies taking on the lady personas and...
Okay, let's be clear real quick. They look like Nomura Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy characters. They don't look like the original ones. Like, this is like a modern
interpretation. Yeah, they look like Kingdom Hearts characters. Nomura.
Because remember, we did have a huge divide between 6 and 7 when they started changing.
Yeah.
So, like, this is like the modern interpretation of what a Final Fantasy character is.
Okay. I don't know. Let's move on. They showed off a gameplay trailer for Hitman, which I think looks good. And the things they're saying make it sound like it's going to be a good Hitman game again.
This is
with the exception that they are trying to do everything in their power to not say the words early access, which I think this game is the first big major published AAA game that is launching in early access. And that's fucking scary.
Would you say that...
You know what's really going to suck for me is if that is the case, if this game is going to come out and people are going to be playing it, y'all are going to be talking about it, and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to twiddle my thumbs and I'm going to wait until the game is finished and it's on disc.
Would you say that, for example, a recent major AAA release, would you say that Killer Instinct is one?
No, I mean, that's free-to-play game that, you know...
It gets updates.
Yeah, it just gets updates.
They're talking about like this game, like we'll talk about a little bit more about it later. I guess. Well, no, there's really not much to say about what we saw today because it was nothing new. But the guy that was talking the game literally said the words, "We are going to be taking feedback from players as they play the game, and then using that to make it better."
So
while like after the game is out.
Yeah. No, yeah. They're taking feedback. That's like it's access. An unfinished game they are only releasing digitally. And guess what? When that game is done, or when they think it's ready, they're going to release it on a disc. You know, Soul Glove says it's not early access. I would like to hear a definition of what early access is and a definition of what this is.
Well, the problem is they're not defining exactly what the content is going to be at launch and what's going to be coming, and they said new contracts, hits,
new and locations,
then new locations. But how is this going to be delivered, and when's it going to be delivered on a regular schedule?
They said on a regular basis.
The fact that they're not being clear about it,
I don't know if we can trust that though.
The fact that they're not being clear about it is what's very unnerving.
The point is, the game is launching. You pay for it digitally, unfinished, in December. This is the first major early access game for consoles.
And let's say like it came out with three maps for $60, but the promise of more to come.
Yes, that's exactly what this is.
If that was a regular game you played with three maps and you had DLC maps coming, everyone would be throwing a fit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the fact is, you're getting a game, a base game that's going to be expanded on with systems, with maps, with levels. That is almost the definition of early access, especially with everything you get on Steam. Because with Steam, you are promised to get the game for the price you pay at early access point when it's released.
The only reason they're not saying early access is because that word has become a derogatory term, I think. Or at least it is a thing that is not, it is very divisive. Some people are very unhappy about all these early access games on Steam and whatnot.
It's, at this point, it's all PR spiel, and we don't have enough evidence to look through the bullshit.
I'm not saying this isn't going to work. I mean, I feel like they're kind of spinning it, you know, by saying that there's going to be these like temporary events, these temporary hits, which don't even really make sense to me.
Well, honestly, like
what, why would you make anything, said, any content temporary?
Well, because they're trying to make it more. So this is what it sounds cool to me, but it also sounds a little dangerous because it does sound a little bit like an MMO. But like they're treating their content like an MMO treats like special events in an open world where it's like, hey, we're going to be doing this. Like when I played Final Fantasy XI for a while, it's like it's Halloween. So all of a sudden they start doing all these Halloween themed events. And then after Halloween's over, it's all gone.
Yeah.
It could be stuff like that. But it's like, okay, on this day, they release this like, they tease people like, we're going to put this character out and everyone needs to go and assassinate him on this day.
Let me read this. PoCop has the quote from the site or what they've been saying. Okay. Another big part of this new approach is that we will develop the game with you, the players, and adjust gameplay and create live content and events based on player activity and feedback. So the game will deepen and evolve as time progresses. That's fucking early access.
That is actually the definition of early access to me. Which, you know, but the fact, and they say they're obviously going to release a disc once it's done, and that's the one that I'm going to wait for. If it is episodic, though, it'd be cool. Like, I would like to at least play it when it comes out. So maybe I'll play the first episode or something, but I don't want to put too much time into this until. Weird position for sites like ours and every other site out there that does, like, Game of the Year things at the end of the year. Do you take that into consideration for Game of the Year?
It's not a full game, it's early access. We have a category for that. Hitman can be in that. It's. I'm not even saying that this is a really bad thing. I'm saying it makes me a little nervous.
It's because
I don't want to set a fucking precedent.
Here's another quote. We are building a live, expanding, and evolving world of assassination where we continuously develop the game, listening closely to the players as we release new locations, missions, and hits as soon as they are ready. We're $60. And not a dollar more gets you full access to the experience. Hitman will begin on December 8th, evolving and deepening over time, with his initial storyline concluding in 2016.
That's see, initial storyline, that's... It sounds like a season. It's like season one of Hitman.
The fact that we have no fucking clue what this is
I mean, really... I think there is some accountability here. I mean, one of the scary parts about early access is that they might just kind of really slow down development. Which, you know, they could still do with this game.
I mean, I don't think they'll slow down development.
I just don't...
The scary thing
the
is...
The fact that
it's a total...
digital-only release at first is, like, the first red flag here. You know?
What sucks is that this is a total buzzkill to be, like, I would have a huge Hitman boner right now if it wasn't for the fact that, like, this whole thing just seems really...
The thing is, I'm still kind of excited, and I do plan to get this as soon as it comes out because I want to play that content when it's being talked about because this game might suffer from the same problems that every early access game has, and that's that all the hype is fucking front-loaded before the game's even fucking finished. And I feel like if we all just wait till the final release when it's $60, you guys are not going to care anymore. Well, you know, no one's going to fucking care anymore. It's so weird.
It is, but I also should balance it out by pointing out that there have been some pretty good early access games. that have successfully come out of early access and done well.
Sure, of course.
Invisible Ink is a great recent example.
I feel like a lot more people would be talking about Invisible Ink if it didn't launch in early access.
Yeah.
I mean, Clay's last game, Mark of the Ninja, was fucking huge because when it came out, everybody picked it up. Everybody was talking about it. It was fucking awesome. No one's talked about Invisible Ink.
I fully intend to for the end of the year, but, you know. Who knows? It's just killing my buzz because...
A little bit, because everything else they're saying about this game sounds like blood money, blood money, blood money.
I know. The only concern I have about this game thus far is just how focused they seem to be on the social element of the game. Because they had this idea that we're going to put out content regularly and we're going to rely on the Hitman community to basically replay this content over and over and over and over and over again. And what's happening?
Power's dying.
I didn't even know. I didn't know he wasn't plugged in. Sorry.
Anyway, I didn't know he wasn't plugged in.
They're relying on the community to play this over and over and over again and bide their time, you know, on a $60 game. I don't see it really... I don't see anybody really coming back after just a few content updates for this.
That's the point. That's why it's hard to get excited about it.
Like, who gets excited whenever people release an Ultimate Edition with all the DLC in it?
The people who want to get it cheap.
Exactly. The problem is we're not going to get it cheap. When the full game is released, it's still going to be the same full-price game.
Mm-hmm.
$60.
They're going to be charging $60 at launch in December, even though the game is technically not complete.
Yeah.
Which goes against the norm for early access, because the majority of early access games tend to be like maybe $10, $15, $20 cheaper.
But the price is not what defines a game.
And they raise it at the end.
But the price is not what defines a game as early access.
No.
Early access seems to be that if you pay a price up front and do not have to pay more for any update released up into launch, then that seems to be early access. Whereas the example you get for Killer Instinct, whereas that you don't have to pay a dime, but you have the option to buy each DLC as it's released, that's, you know, free-to-pay add-on content.
I like Resting Bird's analogy in chat. He says, imagine if your favorite artist released their album 2 years before it was final. By the time those 2 years pass, their music is old news. I mean, it's kind of
that's a stretch, artist do that with like EPs and stuff, right?
Well, they'll release the single before the album's finished, but then at that point, the album is pretty much finished. Like they're either buying their time or they're just finishing up one or two songs.
Yeah.
Okay. What's next? Oh, they showed off Star Ocean, which, you know, I mean, I like a good JRPG.
What was with that trailer though?
There was some strange effect going on in the trailer.
That was.
And if you like unique RPG combat, you know, nothing, it's not turn-based. It's very, very
action RPG combat.
Action tactical-based.
Yeah.
A lot of cool
I'll
combos.
Probably play that when it comes out. I wrote down Deus Ex again. I think they showed more Deus Ex. That comes out early 2016.
Right, we got a lot of plot. We got a lot of... gameplay.
We saw a pretty lengthy demo of that today. So.
And their final thing was Project Setsuna.
Yeah.
Project Setsuna.
You know, you were speaking about Square Enix doing stuff way in advance.
Yeah.
There's nothing more in advance. We've made a studio to make games.
Yeah.
And they're going to make games.
And that's what they closed with.
And it's called Tokyo RPG Factory.
Yeah, that's a
little
weird.
That's the name of the company.
That's a little on the nose.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that they're making teams and projects. So this is going to be a new RPG series. Not Final Fantasy, not Dragon Quest, not Kingdom Hearts. It's a new thing. I'm really tired.
It's kind of a weird thing for them to close with.
They showed some concept art. No, I mean, that's the thing. That's the kind of thing. The future. You close with the future.
Get down, Cat.
You close with whatever's going to get people most excited.
Sure. But whatever. I mean.
Anyways, let's take a quick break before we do any of our show floor impressions. You know, we didn't see all that much today, so we got a few big games. We got Deus Ex to cover. We got Just Cause 3.
XCOM 2.
XCOM 2. Metal Gear Solid. Phantom Pain. Anyways, we'll talk about that in a second. I want to cut the recording for just a second, and we'll come back and we'll talk about what we saw today. So don't go anywhere. And the first thing we saw today was Deuce X.
Deuce X.
Deuce X.
Deuce X.
So we went and saw a... So they were actually showing this game on the show floor, but they had an extended demo that we got to take a look at, which is like basically twice as long as what they were showing on the show floor. So the first half of their demo focused heavily on... Well, actually, I don't know if they showed this. They started the demo off by showing up kind of like the state of the universe where it exists now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure most of you have already heard kind of the setup so far, which is that at this point in time, which is like 2 years after the events of Human Revolution, all the augmented people are shunned. They live in like these, what they call aug ghettos.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a terrorist who is an augmented person who is, I guess, committing all these terrible terrorist acts. And obviously that is not helping their image and not helping them, you know,
fight for the rights of the augmented.
Yeah, exactly.
Party.
So they introduce a new character in this demo, a female character who looks like it's probably gonna play a major role. I don't remember what her name was. I don't know. Brad wrote
that
down.
Not Farida. That's disappointing.
I usually don't write names down.
She looked cool though.
She's not Farida.
Anyways, there was just a whole bunch of walking and talking in the beginning, and then all of a sudden there's a big explosion. They kind of set up the gist of the universe.
It was very Half-Life.
You know, if you were paying attention,
yeah, it was.
During that intro sequence when he's talking to her,
yeah,
you can see the bomber. You can see him walk off. Because it's the same guy in the yellow hood that you saw in the cinematic announcement trailer.
Huh.
You see him walk past you, he looks at you, and he pulls up his hood.
That's cool. Anyways, we got into the meat of... What are you doing, Brad?
Playing with the cat.
I know. Please stop. We got into the meat of the demonstration, and it was very focused on... They wanted to show off, like, all of their pillars, which is, you know... They showed off some combat-heavy stuff, some stealth-heavy stuff, and then that's where kind of the demo ended, and they showed us some of the more social aspects. But let's start with the
What they didn't
stealth.
Show is the inventory or the skill menu... Oh, is all that stuff still there? I have no reason to think that it's not, but it worries me a little bit that they now have that Crysis 2 style, you know, attachment switching, bullet switching, where you kind of look at your weapon and you can see the different parts and switch out the different parts.
I'm all for it if it prevents you from having to go into a menu.
I don't think they just felt it was necessary to show. It's something you just don't need to show right now.
I just hope that Resident Evil 4...
The UI is more than likely not finished at all, so...
Sure.
Either that, or maybe it hasn't changed enough to even...
I'm just hoping that Crysis 2 style thing is not supplanting
a
proper inventory.
That's just for the sake of weapons customization.
I hope so. One of the big new changes is that now Adam Jensen has Blink. He can blink.
As in
like
Blink.
Dishonored.
Like Dishonored.
I forget what it was called.
They called him...
Icarus Dash or
Icarus
something.
Dash. Icarus Dash, yeah.
It's Blink.
It is Blink.
He can blink now, which is cool because you can have very vertical environments, and the environments did look
really
a lot
that.
More like vertical and elaborate, you know, which you can do when you have Blink. You can blink into enemies and stuff, knock them down.
Yeah, you can actually use them to knock them down. There was also one point in the demo, like it seems like a lot of the stuff in the environment.
Or no, you don't just knock them down. It's like the charge. The Vanguard charge in Mass Effect 2 and 3,
yes,
where you charge them and then it goes into slow mode as they're flying back through the air, and you can shoot them. So, yeah.
That was pretty badass.
But there was one point where he actually... I'm sorry about the unzipping. They actually shot like a bucket or something that was on a table, and the bucket flew off the table and hit a dude in the head. And like the dude like reacted and fell backwards, which I thought was pretty cool.
I don't remember
that. I mean, it was in the middle of a firefight, and I noticed it, and it kind of struck me as weird.
Yeah, that firefight got a little chaotic. So,
but they were also wanted to talk heavily about the, you know, how much the combat has improved, and I wanted to know what y'all think about that. Like,
of course, still play this game very stealthily. It just seems weird to go guns a blazing.
For me, one of
the
problems...
Well, it seems weird because you never considered it an option the first time because it wasn't nearly as fun or...
Well, the problem was, number one, it was clunky in the first game. It really was. But number two, the way you gathered items and ammunition in Human Revolution, you got very little. So ammo became kind of precious, and you had to save it up.
Yeah.
But in this, yeah. I mean, he was just going full blaze. You know, just blowing everything away. And he was picking full up blade. Quite a bit of ammo.
What?
Really, Brad?
Also, the hacking is, like, way cooler looking now.
It reminded me of
it's the same style of hacking, but man, I love the hacking in Deus Ex.
It was pretty good.
It was Human Revolution. Very interesting.
It's still game. I think the game still looks slick as hell. Like Deus Ex Human Revolution still has like a really unique
look. You know what? To it. I never understood the dialogue debating from Human Revolution, and I kind of didn't really get it here either. Like, well, I don't know how to win an argument. I feel like it might as well be random.
I mean, I think what they were going, like, they, I don't remember specifically, how did it work in Human Revolution in terms of...
Well, basically, there were basically three things you could say at any given time.
But were you choosing specifically what he would say?
It would show you exactly what your character, what Jensen was going to say.
So,
but it also implied the tone of the message you're doing, and you're trying to convince the character the entire time.
Gotcha. So it's kind of the same thing here, except instead of telling you exactly what they would say, it said you have three. It'll give you three options of how you want to steer the conversation, and the social interaction they had with this one character in the demo we saw, he was choosing between turn the tables,
mm-hmm.
which is like basically flip his argument back on himself and try and convince him that way, or to be very aggressive. In terms of, you know, I can't remember what the
exact... I think one was, like, placate or something like that.
Yeah, one was probably just to placate him, and, you're kind of trying to see, like, take a best guess based on how the character is presenting themselves and what kind of personality they have, and you have to kind of decide which general approach do you think would work best on their personality type.
And that seemed kind of hard... At least what they showed seemed much harder.
I have a feeling
we're
going to end up in a very L.A. Noir-esque situation here where it's like, okay, I misinterpreted that. And it's just, you know, a lot of times it may not go the way you want.
Yeah, no, when I was doing the social, you know, challenges in the original game, I was kind of reloading two or three times just to get the right path.
But I think we might secure an interview, and maybe that's something we can ask them about, Brad.
Are you okay, Brad?
Yeah.
You look like you're losing your shit.
Brad is getting tired. I can see Brad slowly. We didn't see a whole bunch today. So let's
moving on. XCOM 2 looks cool.
Very cool.
I'm surprised this wasn't a playable demo.
Yeah.
That game is supposed to come out this year too, right?
Yeah, but if I remember, XCOM 1 wasn't playable.
Yeah, it was.
At E3, but it was playable at PAX Prime.
No, E3 it was playable.
It was?
Yeah. That's when I first played it.
I guess I just didn't have an appointment at the time.
So what about this demo stuck out to you? Because I played some XCOM.
What stood out to me. The fucking stealth elements. That was fucking great.
Stealth elements?
Well, the idea is that XCOM has become a resistance organization, and that you have to base your patterns of attack on, you know, hit and run. And so you have to not... fall asleep in the middle of me talking,
I'm listening.
So you have to send your squad out on, you know, stealth missions, and then you get them in the best position you can, and then engage the firefight.
Yeah,
and that was cool. And the way they did the stealth was particularly interesting because it doesn't seem like it's based fully on line of sight. It's based on proximity, because when the characters are moving around, if they showed, like, the alien and the enemy positions, and then the squares where you would move the characters had, like, blue blocks where it was kind of safe to move, and there was red blocks indicating that if you walked into that area, they would spot you.
And that's what...
Was it not like
walking
that in the
into
first?
That area... No, it's not.
No.
Walking into the area would trigger the phase where they would try to run away, probably. But it's strange because, like, that seems like a lot of intel that you have. Why do you know where the enemies are and where they can see you?
Because you're on the attack. That's the whole idea. You're not defensive. You're attacking.
What about the wasn't there a moment where someone picked up a character and off the battlefield? See, he's having the same problem I had in Metal Gear today. I couldn't stop yawning.
So there is a new enemy, the snake type enemy, and has a fucking
something like that.
Like, is a melee creature like a chrysalid, but it has a fucking tongue.
He's like Scorpion.
Didn't get it because he's aliens.
It's like that special zombie from it's like the smoker from Left 4 Dead. It pulls you towards it, and then it fucking kills you. It seems like the new bullshit chrysalid type character.
Well, I mean, they're introducing a melee combat system in this game, and that's a fair counter to it. So,
I mean, I guess I mean,
was I imagining that? Was there a moment where someone got injured and then another character ran in and picked them up?
Yes, over that was shoulder? The very end.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. No. So that's a new mechanic where you can. You know, I guess, you know, take an enemy back to your
mothership base, whatever.
And I guess
extraction.
They can survive that way. I can't remember the name of the ship, but it also seemed a lot more cinematic. I don't know if this was like a big story mission, but apparently all the areas are procedurally generated.
Well,
this time around,
they actually are. I mean, they've said that every single experience every single map is going to be procedurally generated. They've said
so,
that.
but there's still like there seem like these cinematic points. You know, like you saw the crowd.
This was a story mission, and story missions, I believe, are going to be structured like this.
But
going to have the same. Are the
levels themselves still going to be procedurally generated?
To a certain degree,
I would say in general. There was just more. It was more cinematic. It's just hard to tell whether if that was because it was a story mission or if they created a system to where, you know, any procedural map can look like more of like a story because of that. It's one of the questions I'm going to ask when I interview them tomorrow because I was unsure. You know, like the whole, like when one of the characters died, it didn't just like it was so cinematic that it almost didn't seem like a regular generic character death, you know?
Yeah.
The one that you end up kind of pulling out towards the end.
And they also seem to have a lot more personality this time around. Yeah.
And that the way that monster chased you, there was a lot of like kind of zoom ins on that stuff. And again, I don't know if that's just something that they're dynamically doing this time around or if that was like a story sequence. It's just hard to tell.
One thing I'm still
they're blending it so much.
One thing that still kind of bugs me is like there was really nothing about this demo that made me think this couldn't have been done on a console. But then again,
another question I'm gonna ask.
I think it could easily be done on a console.
Well, of course it can. Like there's nothing about this that didn't seem.
Saying the procedural generation. I think
I don't believe that.
It's gonna be a question I'm gonna ask.
There's been plenty of procedural generated stuff.
I'm thinking that it's just meant for like support for the game. Post-launch?
I mean, maybe it didn't sell... Maybe it just sold a fraction of as well as it did on PC.
Well, no, they've confirmed that. It sold the best on PC. The console versions kind of sold butt.
Did they say that?
Yeah.
Anyways, it's worth asking. We have an interview with them tomorrow afternoon, so...
Just Cause 3!
According to Segway in chat, the XCOM 2 video, according to IGN... the developer said it was purposefully cinematic for that particular demo.
Gotcha. I'm still going to ask them.
So, okay. Good to know. So,
the people who watch the interview know that.
Just Cause 3.
Yes, Just Cause 3. Take it away, Nick.
You're going to ask me to talk about Just Cause? I've never played a Just Cause.
Well, this
Cause
was
game.
An interactive... it was a...
Interactive stage demonstration.
It was an interactive stage demonstration in that it was a series of videos in which you choose at certain point, the audience chose at certain points what was going to happen next.
That was just
it was a choose your own video thing.
I mean, that was dumb.
It wasn't a live demo, obviously, either. No. It was literally just like in this scenario, by round of applause, should we do this?
Yeah. People are always picking the bad choices too.
There was one moment where like, do you want to do this? And I was like the only person like, yeah! And nobody else moved. And I was like, really? Really, guys?
Everybody looked around.
I was the only one.
Let's do the tank. Ugh, God.
I wanted to see the bowling ball.
People are so.
I was expecting greater things from the bowling ball.
So, new things. You have unlimited C4, because why not? You have a tether that is manually retractable. And it's really cool, and I'm sure it's going to lead to some cool things.
I will say they need to add a little punch to it. You know, it seemed a little just like limp. I mean, it did got the job done, you know, but it was just kind of like, meh. You know what had a really fucking badass like fucking frum to it? The only good thing about Red Faction Armageddon was, remember the magnet gun?
Yeah.
When you stuck one thing to another thing, it was like...
It had a great sound effect. Yeah. The screen direction, it was great.
Exactly. This game is kind of limp. Like, yeah.
I will say this. Yeah. The wingsuit looks fucking incredible.
The wingsuit looks
holy shit. Oh, he might as well be Superman. He's flying all over the place.
The way you could use the grappling hook to just keep moving yourself around, it was
And the way great. Like the it way he actually like his like the animation of the character like moving and like changing his like shifting his weight and changing and whatnot mid flight looks fucking beautiful. Holy crap. And of course they did all kinds of other crazy things like, hey, you're flying a plane. If you get out of the plane right now, you can walk around in the wings, even though no one's flying the plane anymore. Very strange.
That's fucking rad, though, dude.
Yeah, that's
just so fucking cool.
It's like, literally rad, though, because it's funny. So, what was the game we were talking about? Oh, actually, so, like, when we were talking about Jurassic World, when we saw it, like, someone was like, Crispy was like, this reminds me of what, like, a 15-year-old, like, fan fiction would have been. Like, it's just ripped out of the mind of a high school kid. Like, this would be awesome. I feel like this entire game is that.
And that's what makes it awesome.
I guess, sure.
You can run around on top of the plane. Oh, and you can... Oh, man.
Just the how... Again, going back to the tethers, I mean, just seeing what you could do with that, just...
Using multiple tethers at once and then retracting them all together at the same time.
But more importantly, exactly what you could tether and do things with. I mean, in part of the interactive demo, they took, like, this, like, 100,000 gallon of gasoline, whatever, natural gas container, and tethered it to a smoke pipe, and it just went, meow.
Uh-oh.
What?
Stream.
Stream's dropping?
Keep talking.
I will say, the coolest moment... Oh, did we just...
Mm-hmm.
The coolest moment of this whole demonstration for me was this moment during... They did this montage at the very end of the demonstration that was, like... To me, it looked like they were doing, like, check out all these ways you can destroy this one building. And it was just showing this, like, these towers, and, like, they were just showing, like, all the different kinds of shit you could do to just blow it up. And there was one moment where, like, he's like, jumping out of a helicopter or plane or something and falling straight down and, like, shooting a rocket launcher at this thing while he's falling, and then it explodes, and then he, like, whoosh, busts out his wingsuit, and, like, it's falling, like, as he's, like, weaving in and out of, like, debris that's, like, that he had just blown up, like, that was cool. And then he tethered himself to a helicopter, and as he was pulling it, like, himself towards it, fired a rocket launcher into it, and then it exploded, but he was still being pulled towards it, and he just shot straight through the flames of the helicopter as it exploded, and then came out the other side with his wingsuit. Like, that was crazy.
It was cool.
It was crazy.
And then there's the part where everyone cheered for the tank, and he slowly drew the tank.
I didn't want the tank. But then again, the three options didn't, in that particular scenario, didn't sound all that enticing.
That's true. They didn't. They weren't the best options.
But
that game looks fucking rad.
It really does. I might actually try to find some time in July and play Just Cause 2 for the first time.
Let's talk about one more game.
One more game.
Metal Gear Solid 5.
It's a video game, and I'm tired of talking about it. I just want to fucking play it.
I want to fucking play it. This game...
I'm going to ask chat what they thought of Metal Gear if they saw the demonstration.
I don't think that demo is available just yet.
I'm sure someone filmed it.
I mean, they usually release these, like, these demonstrations, like,
but somebody probably filmed it right off the screen.
But it was probably on one of these stage shows, like IGN or GameSpot.
It's... Metal Gear Solid 5 looks amazing. What I'm a little unsure about is that Metal Gear Solid 5... is structured totally different than any other Metal Gear Solid game that's ever been released.
Except for Peace Walker.
Except for maybe Peace Walker. And Peace Walker is not my favorite. I didn't finish it, which is a little concerning. But at the same time, in this one, like, 20-minute demo that they did today, there was just so
tapes.
Much.
So you could much listen shit. To Maneater.
So no, you could listen to the Final Countdown. That was on the list, and that makes it awesome.
Oh, man.
If you could get Kiefer Sutherland as Big Boss to seeing that as he's riding along in the helicopter.
That's never going to happen.
That's game of the year.
That's never going to happen. It's game of the year. Do you know why? Because the other thing that concerns me with this game is that some people that have seen more of the game, played more of the game, have said that they would describe Snake in this game as a silent protagonist. You know, not completely silent, but like in
comparison. He doesn't talk much.
He doesn't talk much, which strikes me as odd because... Because
it's Kiefer Sutherland.
Well, no, because it's fucking Metal Gear Solid.
And we also had this talk before. I'll reiterate what it said real quick. You know, this game does not have codec conversations. They cut down Big Boss's dialogue significantly. You know, all you're going to hear from him is, you know, in-game interactions and cinematics.
That's not the point. I don't care about the fact that it's not in a codec. I'm just talking in general. He doesn't talk much.
Yeah, no.
In cutscenes. He doesn't talk much.
We have barely seen any cutscenes.
That's why I'm a little worried. It's Metal Gear Solid.
There is a lot of customization, aka, you know, like Peace Walker style customization. I mean, I like all the systems in play, upgrading your base and whatnot. I like the buddy system.
Let's talk about the buddy system.
You
can
take a dog or a horse or a little robot or, of course, a scantily clad lady with giant breasts, because they all fit in the same category.
Because it's a teenage fantasy.
No, it's very weird to see them put those four things together in the same category.
Yeah, it's like, do I take the horse or my sexual fantasy? I don't know.
Which one? The dog, the walker, or the one?
Well, of course.
Because I'm getting worried here.
The dog.
Oh, okay.
But they seem like they can do cool things. You know, and they all have their kind of unique bonuses. That fucking mech, little mech thing that you can fucking ride around on, that shit's cool.
It does look cool. I think the coolest moment, though, is when he pulls out maybe this wasn't in the demo, this was more of in a trailer, but you see Snake pull out a cigar, and he leans forward, and all of a sudden, Quiet, who's off in the background in the distance, shoots the end of his cigar off and lights it with the bullet. That was so good.
Can I say something that I'm really annoyed about? Yes. Getting really fucking tired of the Phantom Cigar. Every single time they fucking demo this game, they show out the Phantom Cigar. And I can appreciate the acceleration of time, the passage of it, and the weather effects and all that shit.
He shouldn't
accelerating like 5 days ahead.
He shouldn't be smoking that thing for a day.
Smoke it for like an hour.
I like all the different commands that I feel like you have. I feel like there's so many options in this game. And it's not just the options that you have as a player, which feels like there's a shit ton. But now that you have this buddy with you, like that time he almost got caught. And then he had his dog bark to kind of like distract him. That shit's just cool.
Yeah, that's great.
Or like the fucking, man, that robot dude that was like scanning the area.
I mean, it's seeming like everybody you can bring on the battlefield has unique commands that you can work with.
You know, I wonder who we're all gonna bring.
Well, you know what's really gonna make
Chico?
You know what I think is really going to make me?
It's not Chico. That's been confirmed.
What's growing old for me already, and I might get. I'm sorry. The Fulton recovery system was really cool. The first few times I saw it, but
you do it a lot.
I feel like every 5 seconds in this game you're gonna stop and you're gonna Fulton everything
because it all feeds into the metagame.
Yeah. I know, but like I feel like that's all you're doing. It's just like
Peace Walker, baby.
But you don't have to do that.
But
you can analyze the character's stats and figure out what you want.
But you're going to.
You have a limited amount.
Let me tell you this.
They were showing off when you went over to a guy and they had the Fulton icon below it. They said X and they had the number of Fultons that you could use.
Hey, let me tell you this.
That's
good. That's good that they're limited. I'm just saying, every single demo we've seen, he has Fultoned every single thing, every fucking soldier he came across, every like truck,
according
every
to the
animal,
pictures, it looks like every sheep in the county.
Everything that he touches, he Fultons back to his base, which is cool that you can do that. I just hope I don't feel compelled to do that to everything in the world.
You will be compelled
if you only have like 10 on.
At the very least, I'm glad that when you do that, you're at risk of alerting the guards to your presence. That wasn't the case, it would have a serious
there are potential consequences for your actions.
Like
so.
Peace Walker. You could just do it.
Don't get me wrong. I think it's clever, and I think it's funny, and I think it's a really cool way to add to the metagame. But man, It's really getting to the point where it's starting to distract me from the fact that you're supposed to be doing a stealth. You're supposed to be playing a stealth game.
Catman.
And you know, it's a stealth action game, and I'm every 5 seconds in the demo, he stops to Fulton something, whether it's a person, or a truck, or a sheep.
Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck.
Well, I mean, again, when you Fulton, you get things back at Mother Base.
Oh, I know. You get benefits. I know that. But what I'm saying is, when I'm walking through the world, I don't want to feel like every 2 seconds I have to stop and Fulton something.
I'll say this. I hope they kind of show off, or I hope the game has...
Has what,
Nick?
What is that? He found that little piece of plastic.
It's a cat.
I just didn't know if it was something big. Sorry.
It's the witching hour. That's what cats do.
So a lot of Metal Gear games have really elaborate, cool indoor areas, and we've seen mostly all outdoors stuff. I want to see some cool, like, fortresses or underground labs or bases. I mean, it's just something that's very Metal Gear, because you know what? The desert gets a little old. You know what I mean?
Well, there's the jungle, but...
They have hinted,
if you've paid attention to the maps and you've looked at what they've got in the background, there seem to be several large locations you can visit. You know, compounds that, you know, may not be the size of the base in Ground Zeroes, but definitely have large interiors.
Well, I mean, I want something bigger than the base in Ground Zeroes. Like, I want big, multi-floor...
Well, I'm talking about just the interiors.
No, I'm saying I want the interiors to be fucking gigantic. You know, like they were in Metal Gear Solid 3 and whatnot. Like big, giant interiors.
Okay.
Because Metal Gear is a very... stealth indoors is very different than stealth outdoors, I feel like. And I kind of want that indoor stealth. I hope it's not all gone in the because they decided to make it this very open-ended Far Cry-y thing or whatever.
No, I don't think it will.
I did think it was kind of cool that, you know, all the they're kind of evolving the interrogation stuff, and there's, like, different languages, and he had to, like, get a translator.
Yeah.
To, like, I mean...
Why exactly, I mean, exactly does he find these soldiers and then, like, basically abducts them and sends them back to base, and somehow now they're working for him?
They convert them and get them to... Like, in Peace Walker, when you first Fulton a person... They were in prison for a while until you kind of like could let them out to like help you out. You sort of brainwashed them into helping you. Leave the cat alone. He's fine.
I'm not. It's distracting at all.
No, it's. Also, I like how. I mean, maybe we need to see a little bit more how it works. But they say you can't use the same approach repeatedly. That the guards will kind of catch on, and they will adopt like equipment specifically. You know, design, they'll upgrade and adopt like equipment and loadouts specifically designed to kind of counter the method that you may have been using a lot in the past, forcing you to kind of mix up the way you approach. I want to hear more details as how that works, but that sounds really fucking cool.
Oh, it does, but I when I hear that, it makes me think that that's for the players that go on the more, you know, assault focused approaches and get caught more. If you're a more stealth oriented character and you're just not getting caught, I wonder if that has any effect on it.
Well, I don't know. It would just be cool that if, like, say you are playing very stealthily, right? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe, like, you're sneaking around and they don't know. Like, maybe they all of a sudden the guards start having more kind of technology like thermal goggles or night vision goggles or the kinds of stuff that would help them, you know, detect people that were kind of sneaking around. Or if you were kind of going guns and blazing, then you'd start seeing enemies that were much more heavily armored wearing those helmets and stuff. Or maybe if you were kind of just hanging back and like sniping people from afar, maybe they would start carrying sniper rifles to try to counter you from doing that more often.
Yeah.
Like that sounds really fucking cool. It's not the kind of stuff you see in games very often.
No.
So I hope that's what they meant, but they were alluding to kind of what the guards were like equipped with that made it sound like, you know, they made it sound like that's how they were countering, you know, your tactics and stuff, which could be really cool.
Yep.
The reason it's hard, so we were kind of debating as to why we're not like gung-ho about Metal Gear. I think the fact that we've played Ground Zeroes does a lot to kind of water down our hype a little bit. And they've been showing a lot of gameplay of the game.
Yeah, that's the problem. The combination of the two with, you know, there have already been, like, four major demonstrations of the game, two which you could easily locate online that are, like, 10, 20 minutes long. And then you've got Ground Zeroes, which is just a flat demo.
We're just at that point where we're ready for the game to be out.
We're tired of advertising. We just want the fucking game.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The game, don't get me wrong, the game looks fantastic. I'm sure I'm going to love it. It was just one of those things. What is that fucking cat doing over there?
Well, I wasn't worried over there, but over here there's, like, computer equipment. Catman!
He has a little piece of plastic. He keeps going back there, finding more pieces of plastic, and he takes it into the hallway there,
and then just
drops it on the carpet and starts playing with it.
I like how this cat carries around shit like a dog. I've never seen a cat do that.
Dude, you haven't met the right cat then.
He steals shit. He's a cat thief, man.
He's a thief.
Little shit.
By the way, the cat's name is Catman.
Yeah.
That is the cat's name, Catman.
Which I'll reiterate is a great name.
He's not the cat we need, he's the cat we deserve. Wait, what?
Close enough. Is there anything else we want to say in closing? I mean, we can go ahead and kind of lay out what we're doing tomorrow. Tomorrow should be a much bigger day for us. Yeah,
we avoided, like, the big hall that has the Microsoft stuff, that has the Sony stuff, that has the Nintendo stuff. You know, we're still going to try to play For Honor and maybe some of the other Ubisoft games.
We've got an appointment with Namco.
Tomorrow
we're gonna be seeing Dark Souls 3 tomorrow. We're gonna be playing Mirror's Edge tomorrow.
We got Tales games. We've got I'm gonna play the new Godzilla game. Not that you care.
No,
I didn't think so. I'll bite the bullet.
But yeah, tomorrow should be a pretty big day. And we're gonna spend a lot of tomorrow and Thursday in the other hall, which has a lot of other stuff, including a lot of indie stuff, and a lot of big games that are being. That'll be shown off at Nintendo, mostly Microsoft and Sony. Otherwise, you know, today was just kind of way more than we played today.
It was.
But anyways, we'll be back tomorrow night to do this again. We'll have some more hands-on impressions of some other big games and small games, perhaps. We know Last Guardian has an extended demonstration. Which maybe we'll try and see tomorrow. If not, we'll catch it on Thursday. But yeah, I'm ready for bed. Are you guys ready for bed?
Are y'all going to work on a couple of things?
I'm going right to bed.
My stuff is done.
I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to edit the podcast and post it in the morning because I'm sleepy.
Well, I was maybe going to run some footage. Maybe I can run the GoPro footage.
Yeah, maybe we can do
that's
that.
Fine.
Anyways, thanks for listening, guys. 4playernetwork.com. We're doing a contest, by the way, or two big things. We're doing a contest, if you're just joining us. We're giving away a free copy of Batman Arkham Knight on the PS4. If you would like to partake in this contest, all you have to do is go to our Twitter account and find some of the silly pictures we've been posting from E3. Take it, come up with a silly caption, and drop it in the forum thread. The forum thread will be posted in a link in chat. Get creative. Have fun. It's just a silly little contest.
Yeah.
There are some limitations on where we can send this game, especially since this game is a U.S. region encoded game. So,
technically, both systems are region free. So, I mean, but it's import, you know, taxes and shit like that. We prefer North America.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out, but I just want you to be aware.
There's no funny people outside of North America anyways.
I know.
Anyways, so if you want to take part in that, just go find something. We'll be posting more pictures tomorrow, so there'll be more opportunities for you to come up with silly stuff and post it. But we want more entries, and then we'll have you guys on Thursday. We'll have y'all vote for your favorite based on the ones that we like the most. And then the winner will get the copy of the game.
And if you enjoy, if you're enjoying our E3 coverage, first off, thank you. And second off, if you like us, then consider supporting us on Patreon.
Yes, patreon.com/4player if you're interested in supporting us on Patreon.
We are currently at $950, and if we hit $1,000, we will launch a popcorn cast. We've released a few episodes thus far.
We did Mad Max, we did Jurassic World. We did Daredevil, the entire season of Daredevil. That's a good one, by the way. You should listen to that.
And so, you know, we want to make great content for you guys, and you get a bunch of benefits if you're on Patreon. So consider supporting us.
Last thing.
E3 is not cheap, guys.
No, it's not. Last thing I want to point out is if you are in the Los Angeles area tomorrow after
How much did we pay for parking today?
We paid $35 to park today.
$35.
Anyways, if you are in the Los Angeles area and you want to come hang out with us tomorrow after the show floor closes, we're having a little community, a little casual community meetup like we always do at E3. We're going to Philippe's. We always go there. It's a sandwich place. They have French dip sandwiches. It's really good. And you can come hang out with us. We'll be there around 7 o'clock tomorrow after the show floor closes. We'll hang out there for around an hour, hour and a half or so, whatever. So if you're in the area and you want to come hang out and talk about video games, it's totally casual. You're welcome.
Totally cash.
Totally cash. Just come out and we'll hang out and talk about some games and stuff.
And pro tip, always get the double dip sandwich.
Oh, what?
Double dip.
I don't get the double dip.
Get the double dip. Yeah.
Anyways. Thank you guys for listening. I think we're gonna try and stream out a little bit of footage. We did.
So what I'm gonna be streaming out is not the brag cam footage.
Let me cut the.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Good night.